Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with mini-series releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have destroyed the Second Blood Castle, but are struggling to survive the after effects of the act. Richter formed an alliance with Nyarlathotep to destroy the blood structure. Red stole a boat to save Caddy from drowning, and Caddy tried to bless the water, but Sally Jones answered instead of God. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Richter, you've faced many challenges, both of this world and of others in your time. Being alive and being a seeker of the occult, but rarely have you encountered a fiend so nefarious as water in a boat. You are trying to scoop water out with your hat. You are having mixed success. I'm going to need a dex check right out of the gate here to see how you are doing with the boat.
Not good. I don't think my dex is this high.
Think positive.
And it's not. This is 50 points too much. So that's a fail.
Fair enough. The boat is sinking. It is not doing well. Red, you're navigating the choppy waves as best you can, but you can see the blood lines around the city have ceased as they erupted, and the city itself is beginning to sink. So you continue to floor it, but you can feel the boat getting heavier and heavier, and your odds of survival and escape lowering, because you can see that as the city sinks, it is, of course, creating a suction effect and pulling deep ones along with it. Some of them are struggling, but at the same time, they're all like underwater creatures, so this isn't the worst thing that could happen to them. The blood spikes probably are, though. But yes, you are rapidly approaching, and keeping your eyes open for Caddy. Caddy, you have just watched the bloodlines explode. You're beginning to run away. You feel a hand just kind of brush you as you run by, and you turn to see Steve, who just Terminator style, raises a thumb and says, "You have saved us, Caddy." And then he falls back. One of these already, the blood spikes are melting. They seem almost like crystallized blood. So he's got a few in his neck, but he gives you that kind of thank you as you pass. Do you say anything to him?
Did it together, Steve. It wasn't just me. You saved the people too, Steve. You're a hero.
And praise your Jesus. And then he dies.
And praise your Cthulhu, he says, petting his face.
Yeah. And then you feel the ground beneath you crack, and you realize it's time to go.
Well,
we got ourselves a classic try and escape from a collapsing city adventure, Ryan.
Okay.
That's a harder sentence to say than I thought. Damn.
Sneaks up on you.
Yeah, truly. I'm going to need, please, we're going to start with a dodge check. And you're going to have to pass a few checks to see kind of how far out of the city you can get before it goes under.
That seems very reasonable. That's a fail. The odds of that being a fail are so goddamn low, but it is a fail.
Cool.
What is a fumble? Oh, it's a fumble. There okay. You go. Fumble's 96 plus, and I rolled a 97.
Oh, shit, man.
Even if I used my 1 point of luck, it's still a fumble.
All right. You take 8 points of damage as a building collapses on you. You manage to kind of dart around things enough that you aren't fully crushed by it. But you have a small, fragile cat body, and you do not have 9 lives. You spent most of those coming back from inside Wackadoo Willie's tummy.
Forgot that's what he was named.
You get smacked around by stones and you crawl from the wreckage. But you notice that you're no longer looking at the same sky you were because you realize that the city is sinking. This is, I think, the first time you get a real proper sense of, oh, it is legitimately like going full Titanic now and beginning to slide away from you.
Yay, no!
All right, so you crawl from the wreckage. Buildings continue to collapse, but you suspect that the worst of it was what you just got hit by. It's kind of that thing where the things that had been cracked and twisted by the bloodlines fell inward. Everything else is kind of grating, but still kind of has enough structural integrity. Also, admittedly, this thing's been underwater forever, so there's a whole bunch of like barnacles and algae and just kind of that slickness that you get underwater that has kind of added some extra structural density to some of these pieces. So I guess my question to you is, do you want to try and climb or do you want to try and run?
He's a run boy. He's got the dex then. If you climb something while buildings are falling over, it would seem more like you could just fall over again.
Sure. Makes sense. Okay. So give me that sweet, sweet dodge yet again.
That is a success. To be clear, I rolled an 88 and it's still a success.
Damn, man. Always land on your feet. So you take off running successfully this time. You're a little bit more careful as you go. I think maybe the slickness of kind of these water-soaked walkways and everything else. Before, because you had Steve, you're just kind of like riding him, but now that you're actually on your own, it's a little more viscous than you'd intended. So you start to make your way. I assume you just kind of go back the way you came as best you can remember that. Is that fair?
If he can see shore, he's just heading for shore. Like, sure. Just yeah, where you can the docks
see,
came
yeah,
from.
You can see the docks in the distance. As you run, everything's kind of shifting, but yeah, you've got enough of a vector for that that you're good. You can still see dark shapes moving in the clouds above Helmfirth. You think you see a massive tentacle, perhaps a wing, silhouetted against the clouds as lightning strikes.
Don't worry about that, Caddy. Maybe they're sky ones. Maybe they're sky ones and they'll help you.
And with that, you are off. Red, I need a drive auto at disadvantage, please.
Please perform another suicide roll.
What is this? Some kind of suicide?
That is an 88, my friends.
Oh, so a success for Caddy running, but not for anyone else on anything forever? Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Okay. you are having a hell of a time driving this boat. The waves, the combination of the waves, the damage to the ship, and the storm means you are not making great progress. Particularly impeded by a webbed hand that sort of reaches up and clasps the inside of the boat, and a deep one, kind of covered in blood, begins to crawl out of the water, hissing at you. What do you do?
I think she would just scream, "Have you seen my cat?" At it.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Can you roll a fast talk? Jesus yeah. Christ.
Come on. Oh yeah, that's an extreme success.
The deep one's reptilian eyes go wide and kind of stops hissing and says, "You are friends with the Savior?"
A brief puzzlement flashes over her eyes, and then she goes, "Yes, your Savior."
It nods. "This one is one of the Ash Warriors. We served our purpose, but now you must save the one who brought the ash." And he rubs some blood off of his face, and then he just full on Simbas you, just like wipes it across your forehead, and says, "You must be the warrior now," and then falls off the side of the boat.
Well, that doesn't help me. Okay, then.
No greater eulogy was ever spoken to a fallen warrior.
Yeah.
With that, you continue to putt your way towards the sinking city. The boat getting ever heavier. Richter, do you think you would have changed your tactics at all? Not that there's a whole hell of a lot you can do differently.
So what? I shoot the water with my shotgun.
Cool. So you auto fail, I guess? No,
I put another hole in the boat. yeah, he's inept. He's clinging to the last what little semblance of sanity he has left. So this probably seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to be doing.
Okay. Maybe let's go with this instead then. How are you trying to inspire Red? She's just been told she's some kind of mystic warrior. But she's also clearly shaken, and you're doing the only logical thing you can. She's having a hell of a time driving this boat. And you know she's rattled from her experience with Adrian. And because your mind is slipping, I think there's kind of almost a comfort in this, in that like, oh, we're in my realm now. This is all fine. Like, I can help. What are you saying to Red to encourage her?
I think... this is all being said while he's still like,
sure, yeah, of course,
fervently scooping water with his hat over the side of the boat. I just kind of breathlessly saying, "You know, Red, we set war paint the deep one has given you. You do look something like of warrior of old, you know, a fated legendary warrior. Perhaps, you know, hundreds of years from now, someone like me will be reading about and researching someone like you. Ah, it's kind of funny, yeah? We have to make it out of this to be remembered, so please drive the boat better."
Red, what effect, if any, does this have on you?
Okay, so almost none of that registers with her, except the idea that like Caddy has to survive to be remembered.
Okay, all right, so I'll give you advantage on your next which will just cancel out the disadvantage. <Yeah. laughs> So just get a normal roll on drive auto.
So
go ahead and roll that. Look, you should have teamed up with a character who was good at driving things. That would have been...
No, that's a 57.
All right.
Sorry, Richter.
I think it works. It's just also you're moving a tiller back and forth. Like there's fucking nothing to do. Like push harder.
It inspired you not to fumble.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. The boat is in bad shape. Caddy, you can see a boat. In fact, the boat. It seems that Old Man Richter saw you after all. This is definitely your doing. You did it. It's sort of coming towards shore. They're clearly taking on water, but they came for you. You just need to make kind of one last mad dash. Yet again, I'm going to give you the option of dodge or climb. Things are getting pretty dicey. There is an overhang you could run up and jump off of that would get you, in theory, clear of the sort of suction effect. Or you can run straight down towards the water and essentially just try and jump as far as you can from there in the hopes that you'll get clear of it. So basically, the climbing is more dangerous, but the jump will be safer, or the running is safer and the jump will be more dangerous.
Mm. I think he's going to go with the run. He's still a little boy in a cat body, so I don't think Adrian as Addy would be like a guy who relies on his climbing. Like, I think
that's where he's not going to parkour.
Yeah. Like, he might be good at it, but he doesn't think that yet.
Yes. No, that makes sense.
Been a cat for a day.
Yeah. Fuck. He has not had much time driving the cat suit. All right, cool. So give me a dodge, please. And then a jump.
Success on the dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And the jump. Ooh, yeah. That's my kind of jump. The jump is a hard success.
Great. Describe this dramatic exit from the city as you leap toward the boat.
Caddy is sprinting down the street towards the boat. He's got the little bit of a spray that you see in those slow motion versions of that really fast running lizard on top of the water.
Oh yeah, love those lizards.
Combined with the like Keanu slow motion jumping of like stumble running that always still kind of works with the splashing. And then when he gets to the end, he actually jumps from where he is to a statue to another statue. And then he jumps and he's doing like a cat version of long jump. So he's hurled himself up, but he's flipped in the air. So he's feet first, trying to just get as far as he possibly can towards the boat.
Okay. Red, this is perhaps the most important drive auto that you will ever drive, aside from that time you went through the garage. With Richter's words echoing in your head and seeing this tiny cat seemingly pinwheeling through the air. Like, you're not aware that he's doing like a cool long jump thing. It literally just looks like he is flailing, a small cat flailing through the sky. Go ahead and roll with advantage. You failed him once. Can you succeed for him now?
No.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, Keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
That's, I rolled a 70 and an 80. I'm sorry, Caddy. Can she throw herself off the boat and try to catch him? Like.
Yes.
I feel like that's what she would absolutely do. It would just be a last second, like, fuck it, this boat's not working. And she just dives off and tries to get him.
Amazing. You leap off the boat into the water. You're hit by the cold shock of water as you submerge. Caddy, in the excitement, your jacket has come clear, so you're just flailing around in the water, Red, you know, it's a classic horrible, like, stone is dropping into the water around you. You can kind of see flashes of a flailing cat. Caddy, you can kind of vaguely see a shape that could be Red. You really thought that boat was going to get closer. It's just like it somehow didn't quite reach where it should have, which is odd, but you know.
And always used to talk about how she'd take so many driving lessons.
And Red, can you roll me a swim, please?
I should probably look at what my... Oh, no. Okay. No. No. They're both 20.
So you're flailing. You can kind of see him, but at least you know the boat is nearby. Richter, you look up from bailing to see the small demon flying through the air. You see Red leap from the boat, and with no one at the tiller, you see the boat rushing speed to cruise control style into the sloped walkway. The boat crunches with a sickening noise, and you are thrown free of it. The last thing you see before you black out are just beautiful statues that if you had time to study, you could learn so much from. And then your face hits stone and you black out. Red, underwater, you see flashes of Caddy and you begin to swim toward him. You're finding that you can't get any leverage for some reason. Every time you kind of try and breaststroke towards him, it's like you just can't get any grip, and you look and realize that with no flesh on your hand, you're basically trying to swim with one arm, and you feel fire in your lungs as the air begins to leave. And just before you take that horrifying first gasp of water, you see a cat begin to drift into the darkness. And with that, your lungs fill with water and you black out. You awake, coughing, sputtering on a shore with Adrian and Caddy staring down at you questioningly alongside a couple of very scared looking, but still mighty deep ones with red smudges across their foreheads. Caddy, you always knew that being a good person would pay off. And sure enough, your friends, the deep ones, did. As you and your companions drowned, they emerged from the depths, those who had survived. And in order to pay their debt to you, dragged the three of you back to shore, where they were met by the corpses of their friends and an army of armed Migos. You managed to broker a peace. How did you do it?
Well, everyone was here, and the important thing was to talk about religious tolerance. That's what I'd learned through so much at school and the newspaper. So there's Jesus, which is Sally, and then there's Cthulhu, and then there's Big Me, who kind of wants his own thing. And I feel like he monologued until he saw every group nodding on their own. And then he just kind of wrapped it up in a generic proto UN kind of way. Like, we're all supernatural. I'm just a cat who's 12. And you're a million years old in my body when I get older. And you're fish. And that's why we all have to team up. Because otherwise, sky ones come down. And blood. I don't want blood. That killed Steve. So praise Steve, the savior of us all. Peace.
The Migo, the Deep Ones, and El-Arthotep shoot each other a look. And then in their respective languages, all of them mutter some equivalent of like, ugh, mortals. which point, Red and Richter, you awake. The Deep Ones then... Again, like, still, like, it's a ceasefire, but it's very much one of those, like, you know, cops and criminals where it's like, next time, things won't go this way. But for now, like, the Deep Ones kind of gather some of their dead and make their way back towards the water. The Migo were kind of, like, forcing them away at gunpoint. Slowly they sink away. Nilarthotep, again, just kind of shaking his head, says...
It would seem that the one who grows up to be this one is very capable, even in his strange body. You have done it. You have managed to close part of the portal. I will now send my troops to close the final part.
but fuck, man, this voice is killing me.
It would seem that you have a connection to the Croatoa. It seems that only you can stop her. Is this true?
I don't know.
Red will look to Richter.
But I don't know.
Well, if it was the Croatoan the thing that blowed up the blood?
Yes, it is your Sally Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Sally blowed up the blood because I prayed to Jesus. So, we know her.
But why would the Croatoan destroy the bloodlines?
Well, because Sally did it because she's a mystery puncher. Some people are just good and they end up inside bad things and you have to help them.
Huh. Also, Sally und the Croatoan waren the same.
Nope. Not if the Croatoan likes the blood, because Sally helped me.
Richter, can you roll me an education check, please?
Probably not.
Sorry, I would take education or int. I forget which is your like.
It's not going to matter with these kind of numbers.
Oh,
actually, if it is int for idea,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a success. Okay. At an 88, we would just.
We got caddy dodging things going on over here.
Yeah.
Richter, in thinking about Nalarthotep's confusion about this, and also the fact that the Croatoan seem to assist Caddy, you begin to think about the various things you've seen, the actions you've seen the Croatoan take to this point. The killing of the Deep One, the killing of the mayor. A lot of these pieces were actually part of the Entombed Eye and the Gotham Crown attempt to break the Nexus points. You don't actually know if the Croatoan is involved in that. And it might seem to you that the Croatoan is actually operating separately from that. From your research, the Entombed Eye was attempting to kind of summon all, as they've succeeded in doing somewhat, all forms of the mythos to Earth in order to earn their inheritance. But the Croatoan is an unknown god. So piecing all this together, it seems like back in the day when the pastor broke through, he woke something else up. And now it's just all converged in some kind of season finale way. but it would make sense to you that Sally might, the Croatoan might be gaining power from the Nexus, like from the veil being weakened, but that wasn't necessarily part of its plan. It's just a plan that it is making use of in order to form in this world.
All right. It is possible that the Croatoan does not require the Nexus points to achieve its own ends. We must remove the Nexus points. It is the only way for Helmfort to survive this.
But what does it want?
Revenge was at the core of what it was trying to do. It was abandoned and forgotten. Now it is lashing out. I do not understand how or even to whom.
Well,
maybe it's angry at you because it was fine with if Sally and the Croatoan are the same. Sally was fine with me, but I'm still 12, so like I didn't leave anyone.
Who left it, Richter?
Who left the Croatoan or who left Sally? Because Sally might think that Dvi left her. And the Croatoan, my guess would be it's peers, its cohorts.
Reality?
Nylacetep here. These kinds of figures. Nylacetep, is this so? I cannot believe I'm in a position to be speaking to an elder demigod.
The Croatoan is an abomination that we destroyed. It has no place in this universe or any other. That is why you must destroy it now.
All Red can think of is we need to go to the church.
And admittedly, Nyarlathotep has offered to send the Migo north to deal with the final nexus point.
His army of mantis men.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to send your friends to go break that other castle, that'd be good, because I'm all out of ashes and holy water.
At which point a car screeches up, and this thing is a fucking beater. Like, this is, it is, like, the windshield is shattered, it's smeared with blood. It's wrecked in a different way than the previous car you drove, but it's a bad day for automobiles in the city. As the car screeches up, the door flies open, and Father Patrick, streaked in blood and ash, with a Tommy gun, just kind of like creakily gets out and kind of like dusts himself off, and he says,
"Well, son, I might be able to help you with at least two of those."
He kind of throws the gun over his shoulder and says,
"Who wants to go to church?"
"I'm supposed to go once a week, and it's been a while. Like, how many years? Yeah, I'll go."
"We have to go back to where it all began, Richter."
Yeah, I'll sit in the middle.
"Did you guys make some sort of deal with the big guy? Did he promise us anything other than the army?"
"Deal with the Croatoan, and our deal will be complete.
Until then...
I will hold his soul in reserve."
And the sharp toothed smile spreads. He says,
"And if you fail, I'm sure he'll be delicious."
"Wait, who?"
And then he just leans forward and boops you on the nose.
"Oh, that's nice."
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at TheRyanLaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire on Friendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.